Bullying isn't just happening in school hallways or on the playground anymore. In the cyber age, online aggression has surged. Two recent reports by MSU professors focus on the world of cyberbullying. One study was led by Thomas Holtz, assistant professor at MSU's School of Criminal Justice. It found, amazingly, that cyberbullying is just as impactful as physical bullying. Salim Alabash, assistant professor in MSU's Department of Advertising, also collected research on cyberbullying. His work explores the use of social networking sites to fight the phenomenon. And we welcome both Thomas Holt and Salim Alabash to WKAR's Current State. Welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
Tom, are you there?
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
You both come from very different fields of study. Tom, you're a criminal in the criminal justice department, while Salim, you work in public relations and social media. I'm curious as to what drew you both to research cyberbullying. Salim, you first.
Well, I think this is a very important issue, and the way that I'm intrigued by the topic is how to find solutions for this problem and how to use existing social networks in order to promote anti-cyberbullying behavior among different age groups. So I'm approaching it from more of a persuasion perspective rather than defining what the problem is, which might be different than what Tom's approach is.
For those of us of a certain age, we only read about cyberbullying. The internet, Facebook, Twitter, all of it has been such a recent development in my life, my younger years. The internet was a twinkle in some. It wasn't even a twinkle in somebody's eye. It was completely unimagined. Mm-hmm. How does cyberbullying for people like me who have never really witnessed it firsthand? How does cyberbullying manifest itself? What kind of things get said?
Well, I think the basis for cyberbullying is very similar to traditional physical bullying, whether it's physical or verbal, but it is expressed online using electronic devices. So it's any form of aggression that someone perpetrates against someone, another person, using any type of information technology, be it the internet, posting on someone's Facebook, posting on someone's website, sending them nasty text messages. And the interesting thing is that we're seeing a lot of that happening. There's a lot of attention being placed on cyberbullying among teenagers and, children, but not a lot is being discussed about other forms of bullying that extend to life after school, which means, college-age populations, different age groups. And the difference between cyberbullying and traditional bullying is mostly bullying happens in a confined time and space. It happens at school for a total of, let's say, 8 hours, whereas cyberbullying can happen at any time with no restrictions, and whatever is posted online might stay there forever.
Mm-hmm. Tom Holt, in your work, you looked at data from middle and high school age students in Singapore, and you were looking at the impact of cyberbullying versus the impact of physical bullying. Tell us what you found.
Yes, we found that for students who were skipping school as a consequence of bullying, the physical bullying experience and cyber bullying as well as mobile phone bullying all were a significant correlate of skipping school. For kids who were thinking about committing suicide as a consequence of their bullying experiences, again, everything physical or cyber was significant. But we also found that for some youth, spending time either instant messaging for girls or being bullied via mobile phone was a significant predictor for males. So there are some gender differences depending on the outcome that we're looking at.
Does any significant percentage of young people who are online, do they tend to use the internet or their cell phones less once they've become a victim of cyberbullying? Did that come out? That just crosses my mind. Salim?
That wasn't covered in our study, but we are interested in this issue. Generally, there's some evidence to suggest that youth who are cyberbullied might not report the experience because they're afraid that they might lose time on the computer or lose access to their mobile phone in an attempt to reduce the likelihood of repeated victimization.
See, and the reason I bring that up is if kids are not going to school once they've been abused online, it would only make sense that they might not go online quite as often as well.
Yeah, but the thing is that everything that is put out online stays there. I mean, we've recently known about cases like Amanda Todd, who was cyberbullied online, and she did change schools because of the physical and verbal bullying that she has had at school. But all the stories, all the negative comments followed her to her new school. So I don't think that moving away from the internet or not using the technology will limit the effects. Instead, we're trying to promote good citizenry online and how can people be respectful online.
One other issue that comes up also is that some youth who are cyberbullied might in fact engage in bullying behavior themselves online mm-hmm. as a response. So it could be that that might actually exacerbate time online, depending on the individual.
Yeah.
Tom, continue. How do we address this? What's the most effective way to address this?
It's a significant challenge. It doesn't seem as though there's one single answer to this problem. There's a benefit in thinking about how school policy can be addressed and extended in such a way as to not be too restrictive, but also how do we incorporate parents into school solutions, given that if their child is bullied at school and this continues when they're at home, how do we find a way to make parents more cognizant of the ways that their kids are using technology? How do we create a dialogue between parents, teachers, school administrators, and the kids? Even if nothing else, if we are able to increase the number of kids who report when they're bullied online, that might help to bring some light to the problem itself.
And Celine, you've concluded that a more positive spin on anti-bullying is more effective than a more negative spin.
Certainly. I mean, the study that we have done have mainly addressed the issue of where do we put out messages on cyberbullying that promote anti-cyberbullying behaviors. And we created a mock campaign for a fictitious nonprofit organization. And we did find that positive messages were much more effective than negative messages. Even though the issue is pretty negative, so you know the challenge becomes how do you make something positive about something that is so negative. But we did find that people responded better to positive messages.
Salim Alabash is assistant professor in MSU's Department of Advertising, who collected research on cyberbullying. And Thomas Holt led another study. He's an assistant professor at MSU's School of Criminal Justice. We thank both of you for joining us on Current State.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.